Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad News Radio Network, where you'll hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, founder and CEO, Barry Bonds of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach me, reach out directly to me on any one of my social handles on Twitter, under Locker_Report. 2B Sports, start off with number 2, 2B Sports, on Facebook, LockReport.com, on Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps. And also, you can shoot me a message directly via email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in. I hope everyone is enjoying so far this NFL preseason. I'm definitely enjoying this, watching the guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine platform, which is what I cover. That's my vein. That's the part I operate with the NFL, working closely with NFL football operations. So that's the portion of the NFL that I talk about. Not a lot of big name guys. There's some guys' names you're familiar with already because they made a name for themselves, and a couple of them are household names. But that's my portion, talking about the unknown guys that's not known right now, but they eventually will be stars in this league. And speaking of that, today's show is going to be even special because it's going to be great. Not only what I'll talk about what happened in week two, I'll talk a little bit probably what happened in last night's games, but a preview in week two of the preseason, but I'm going to talk about my out list. And my out list is the overlooked unknown talents list. My preseason top offensive players to watch out for. So these names are not guys who come from the big-time programs that you will see on Thursday nights or Saturday nights and occasional Friday nights in college football. You know, these guys normally all play on Saturday. Some of them will get some television, but for the most part, these guys will not. I would say the bulk of the talents that we're looking at come from the Division II level, and the rest come from the lower levels of Division I, which start with the FCS. So these are the guys who I'm going to target for this week on the offense. And, yes, I do have some guys from the HBCU platform as well. Some real good solid guys that's coming out this year. I would not be – so with some of the talents that I have on this list, I would not be surprised if some of them convert over to other positions, because these guys are really talented and they in a great situation where they can play more than one position. So that's what made this list really, really great. And also I will highlight those who I really like the most. I really have my eyes on as we move forward as the preseason looks heading to the 2020 NFL season. Some guys to get familiar with, you know, as this season progresses. But I will start this show off finishing off from last week. Last week I had someone shot me a message talking about the situation with Jay-Z and the NFL. And it was quite interesting. And I know many people on the side of my voice probably heard many, many takes on it already. And this is somewhat probably a dead issue to some expect, and how this whole situation had just went from pointing fingers at this person, and then Eric Reed getting into it, and people pointing at him, and, you know, Kaepernick taking shots at Jay-Z, blah, 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 blah. All of it is, you know, for, in my opinion, almost a waste of time to go back and forth. But my perspective, I promise you, is not like what you heard all week. And my thoughts on it, and I wish I was able to get this in last week, but my thoughts on it is really no thought. Coming from the perspective of someone who deals with the NFL front office on a regular basis. And we can look at the situation where, okay, Jay-Z was being a hypocrite of how he attacked the NFL, saying that you guys don't need me. I mean, y'all, I don't need you. You guys need me. In one of his song lyrics, and how he was campaigning for other black artists not to participate in last year's Super Bowl. Travis Scott, he was hoping that he wouldn't have done it, but he wound up taking advantage of a great opportunity to perform at a halftime show. You know, not everyone has the opportunity to do that, because not every entertainer is on that level to perform on that type of stage. So for Travis Scott to go out there and perform, which I think he did an excellent job, you know, I didn't think I would like that song, Sicko Mode, but I've been listening to it ever since the Super Bowl. And so with Jay-Z coming out, speaking about against that, and then all of a sudden you see Jay-Z with the NFL working out a multi-million-dollar deal. We don't know how much it is, but we know it's in the millions. And the NFL owners recognize that, okay, well, although they don't necessarily need Jay-Z, and this is one of the comments that Roger Goodell has said, which is true. He said, we don't need Jay-Z. I'm just paraphrasing. The league do not need Jay-Z to do what he is doing. And the part that I can back up with Roger Goodell is that they don't. They have a lot of smart people that's in that front office. However, the only thing that the people that's in the front office have no credibility far as with on the street or dealing with the black culture into the way how the NFL needs. So that is the biggest point of Jay-Z coming in. So when Roger Goodell said they don't necessarily need him, they don't necessarily need him. But at the same time, to be able to get that influence of the African-American community, or I would say with that chapter of the fan base, they felt as though, okay, let's bring in this young mind who is very brilliant. You know, he clearly coming from where he came from. Not going to talk about how he got there at the start. That's another topic for another day. However, but for his fruits of his labor, it's clear, and the whole world see it. So why not bring someone in that could be able to be a benefit and to help? And then we have that portion of people who's arguing about the fact that Jay-Z, like I said, was being a hypocrite. Now, I'm the type of person, I'm going to give someone the reasonable doubt. Anyone can have their mind changed. Now, whether if he changed his mind because of dollar signs, or if he looked at it a different way, that's not for me or for you or anyone to judge why all of a sudden he made the change. The position that I'm taking is that dealing with the NFL, not everyone has that opportunity. It's definitely a privilege to work with the front office, you know, to have that opportunity to be able to put on your resume. It is a big deal. And to see someone who has influence, you know, how the word says that a poor man have no voice, you know, but and since Jay-Z is not clearly not a poor man, knowing that if he put his name on it, people are going to listen. That's a fact. And for these guys to be able to bring their wit, their knowledge, you know, to be able to put together something to try to move into something positive. And then no telling what Jay-Z may have in the back of his mind. Yes, there was a word that he may have interest in becoming a majority owner for a team in the NFL, which I think is great. To have any African-American man, African-American in that position is great. And if it opens up a door for him to own an NFL team, you know, hey, it's a great thing. We're moving in the right direction for African-Americans to be able to get a piece of that big pie that no one truly has. And if it opens up a door for him to do it, you know, God bless him. I'm not going to speak against it. You know, it's a great thing. I know how hard it is to be able to make it as an entrepreneur. You know, I live it every single day. And to be able to see someone continuously have a break and use their influence to get to a higher level in their, whether their wealth or in their influence, it's a great thing. So in my opinion, with Jay-Z working with the NFL, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Let's see how it plays out. No, let's see what benefits and what changes may occur. You know, with Jay-Z, don't tell him who he may bring in to work with him. And then to have this feud against Eric Reid and then Kaepernick and Jay-Z, come on, guys. You know, all of us African-American men. We should not be going against each other for whatever reason it may be. Let's not cause a feud within our community because of this. I think it's a great thing. The unfortunate part of it is that there are people that's getting paid based off of Kaepernick's action. But Kaepernick is taken care of because he did receive a disclosed settlement from the NFL. There were so many different number figures that's out there. But he's okay. He's not struggling. He have a lot of money in the NFL front office for because of their collusion case that he won, and Eric Reed had got a piece of it too. They're fine. What he do from here, it will be due. Let's see. Let's see how that whole thing play out. And let's see how the whole thing plays out with Jay-Z in the NFL. I think it's going to be something great. Thank you for that, Kanda. Thanks a lot. Keep sending your questions, and I'm definitely going to answer, especially within my time slot. And if I do go over, hopefully our boss, L.A., don't punch me in the mouth. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL starts of tomorrow, today. And with the next couple of minutes, I'm going to highlight what happened last week with the guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine process in week two, and there were several guys that actually reached the end zone. And so week two of the NFL preseason was a big week for a lot of players. I would say typically guys that were already on rosters, you know, the guys still trying to solidify why they should still be on this roster. And to start with the Minnesota Vikings, they have a wide receiver by the name of Brandon Zildra, who came from the same school that Adam Thielen came from, out of Minnesota State, Mankato. Came from the same school, went through the NFL Regional Combine process in 2016. Adam went through that process in 2013. Zildra wound up going to the CFL for 1 year, had a great year, signed with the Vikings in 2017, learned the system, got a very limited playing time last season. So this year, moving forward, this is his case for this preseason to show that not only should he be on the active roster, but also command more playing time going in this year. And from watching him this preseason, you can see that he's a lot sharper, more crisp in his moves, performs pretty much like an Adam Thielen. Week two was perfect in catching all five of his targets, and he also caught, you know, a touchdown in that game as well, which was a solid, you know, performance on him. And you can see in that game when they played against the Saints that the coaching staff, Mike Zimmer, had him doing a lot of things, had on punt returning, had him out there just running certain routes when they knew that certain plays was not going to go his way. You was able to see how he was so disciplined in being able to make plays for the ball. In the third quarter with 2 minutes and 35 seconds remaining, the Vikings faced second and goal from the Saints' 4-yard line. Zilstra was lined up to the outside, ran hard on the inside, a very physical route to run, and then bounced to the outside corner, and that's when the ball had came to him from a 4-yard touchdown. Really showed a lot of strength, a lot of power, especially going against a physical defense like the Seattle Seahawks. And also in that game, Adam Thielen had a fantastic catch. Back-to-back, you see him that he's trying to work on catching the deep ball, which is great. That's another element that he can add to his game, and he's have to be ready to take on those type of double teams that he will face during the course of this year. Also, fullback C.J. Ham for the Minnesota Vikings lined up actually in out wide as a wide receiver a couple of times in that game, but he did finish strong with 2 carries for 8 yards. One of those carries he had actually got a first down late in the game, which is something that he definitely needed to improve on and get stronger at, because last year there were several opportunities for him to pick up a first down and also have at least 2 touchdowns from the goal line, but he was not able to punch it through. So this is one thing that he trimmed up, definitely put on more muscle so he could be able to take that blunt and be able to carry that low for this season for the Vikings. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL starts of tomorrow, today. We're going to take a short, quick break, pay some bills, come right back, finish up what happened last week, just a couple of things. So I'm going to cut that short, and then I'm going to get right into my outlist that I know you guys are waiting to hear, and you can put this out there. And hopefully I say a couple of names that you guys are probably familiar with. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network.
Hey, this is L.A. Bachelor reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Bachelor, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, the number 2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labachelor40@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pad Nation, Instagram, and of course, if you missed any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com and listen and enjoy the Bachelor Pad.
All right, welcome back to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Always shoot me a message directly, whether on Twitter, @Locker_Report, 2B Sports, Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, Facebook, LockReport.com, or shoot me a message directly via email at barrybarnes@locker-report.com. And make sure you tune in to the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about, like LA said, everything in regard to any type of news and from politics, religion, social, entertainment, sports. We have it covered. Make sure you tune in, and also go to tune in and just type in Bachelor News Radio Network, where you still hear all the programming, where everything is covered to the T. All right? Now, back to what happened in week 2. I'm going to breeze right through this and then get to the list that I know you guys have been waiting for, kicking my door down in here. Okay? Now, one of my favorite guys, Vincent Smith, for the Houston Texans. Pretty good preseason so far, but he really showed out last week, especially when he had caught this 31-yard touchdown against the Detroit Lions. He beat off press coverage to run deep in the post of the corner of the end zone and had a little toe drag swag in the process of bringing in that 31-yard touchdown pass. And so that was a great play for him, showing that he definitely had been working on his game on the offseason, showing the Texans that just like the Vikings, who was pretty deep in talent in that wide receiver core, that he should still be on this team on the active roster and command more targets during the course of the season. That's what he's showing, displaying during this this exhibition portion of the NFL. Now, another wide receiver, Tyrod Johnson, who's a rookie, came through the process this year, had a strong showing so far during this preseason, but he walked away with one catch for 16 yards, and he did have 3 targets in that game. On the defensive side, Chris Johnson, safety, high on this young man. He was flying all over the place. He had 5 tackles in this game, and another legend there, who are B.J. Bello, who he had wound up racking up with 3 tackles, and Terrell Adams, who's been around for a while, had 1 stop himself. In Jacksonville, a backup quarterback, Alex McGill, you heard me talk about this young man several times. Not only can he throw the ball, but he really showed a lot of elusiveness with his feet last week as he picked up a 4-yard touchdown run with 9 minutes and 9 seconds left in regulation in that game. And then Nick Mullins, he continued to do what he do in San Francisco, throw touchdown passes. And last Monday night against the Denver Broncos, he did not fail in delivering another score for that team when he threw a touchdown with 9 minutes and 18 seconds left as he threw a high floater to the corner post of the end zone to Kendrick Moore, who snatched the ball out of the air at the highest point. So that wrapped up week 2 of what the NFL Regional Combine Pioneers did. Now, on to the outlets. And like I said on the show last week, I created the outlets, and the outlets is overlooked unknown talent. And I created this list because I knew that the changes NFL operations was making as far as with the NFL Regional Combine, how this is less of workouts to bring in more defined players. But there's always talent out there. And then to highlight these guys and try to promote the best way I can through the influences that I have. Want to create a list to get more players recognized. And I came up with, it was a watch list, but this year I changed it up a little bit because everyone had their title as a watch list. So I just came up with my out list. Unknown, overlooked unknown talents list. And so this is just a preseason list of names. Anything can change. Last year there were several players who were on the preseason list but did not make the final list moving forward. And last year, as I had mentioned, last week, as I mentioned, coming up with that list, there were about 93 guys from last year's list total, offense and defense. This year is going to be a lot less, that's for sure, and it shows in the offense because everyone is not a mistake playing in lower division school. You know, a lot of, you know, scouts and, you know, I would say, scouts are not going to miss it by that much, you know, but there are some opportunities out there when players are missed, and that's the part I'm gravitating to. And so out of the 93 players, 17 players were invited to camp, and seven of those guys were skilled players. And I mean, you can go to lockup-report.com to check out those players that are playing right now. But to focus on the guys that are currently on this list, I'm going to start with the quarterback, starting with Jake Lawyer from California, from University of California, Davis. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. He's more of a pro-style quarterback, named to the Walter Payton's Award watch list. Big Sky Conference Offensive Player of the Year, All Big Sky First Team, Third Team All-American. Threw for 3,931 yards last season, including 34 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He has patience in the pocket, does not force the ball down the field, takes advantage of what is given. Solid touch, accuracy, throw the wide receivers open. This is very key on the next level. He's smart. He reads defensive schemes very well. Now we're going to go to South Dakota, to Austin Simmons. Austin Simmons is 6'1", 215 pounds. He was honorable mention All-Missouri Valley Football Conference honoree last year. He led the conference and ranked fourth in the country with 3,124 passing yards. And that was during the regular season where he amassed those yards, including 18 touchdowns, which is pretty good, 18 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. That's the part I like. He's not really, you know, putting the ball out there, you know, for any mistakes. So I really like that part. He has a strong arm. He throws the deep ball very, very well. He's very quick. He's athletic. He has a good touch, and he's tough, and he definitely has intensity. So that's one of the things that I definitely like about this young man here. Now, here we go. Let's get into some HBCU talk here. Noah Johnson, who's a quarterback, 6'4", 195 pounds. He's more of a play-action style quarterback. He was a SWAC 2018 Offensive Player of the Year, and he also was the SWAC Championship Offensive MVP last season as well. One of the things that stand out is that not only is he very athletic, he's very smart with the ball as well. He's one of the 25 finalists for the Walter Payton Award, which is considered the nation's best player for the FCS. He finished last year with 2,270 yards, including 15 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Now on the ground, he rushed over 1,000 yards, 1,080 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Strong arm, especially on the run. He could throw the ball well on a rope, on a run, have elite speed for the position. Despite having a running ability, he is very patient in the pocket, have good awareness, and have decent mechanics in the pocket. One of the things they definitely got to work on this year. Chase 4K from Nichols State, 6 foot, 200 pounds, play action style quarterback. He's also on a Walter Payton Award watch list. Southland Conference Player of the Year, first player from the school to win the award. He finished last year with 2,930 passing yards, including 21 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He's very strong, mobile, athletic, good, strong arm, very efficient. He take care of the ball, great vision as a ball carrier. Okay, Dalton Snead, quarterback from Montana, 6'1", 207 pounds, pro-style quarterback, named Big Sky Conference Newcomer of the Year, led the team in rushing and passing. He finished with 2,723 yards, including 22 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Very agile, very elusive, strong arm. He throws a good touch over the middle, see the field very well, have good feet, fast, and have playmaking ability for the position. So somebody to definitely watch out for. Now you have Kenji Barterra from Mammoth, who's 6'3", 190 pounds, from Baltimore, which is good. See a local kid make some waves in college football. Okay, he finished with a career high with 2,626 yards, 20 touchdowns, completed 207 passes, and his passing efficiency was 139.6. He rushed the ball 53 times for 143 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's very athletic, smart with the ball, throw the deep ball well, very solid, instinctive, decent mechanics in the pocket, and quick. Another guy. Okay, Tyrod Adams from Western Carolina, 6'2", 185 pounds. Dual-threat quarterback. He's also on the Walter Payton's Award watch list. Finished with 2,417 passing yards, including 16 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He rushed the ball for 1,016 yards off 194 carries and 10 touchdowns. Throw the deep ball very well, elusive, have a quick burst, throw on the run very well, have good pocket awareness, and he's a playmaker at scrambling. Now, Noah Walston from Taft, he's one of the guys I'm really high on. 6'1", 195 pounds, a dual threat quarterback when necessary. He prefers to throw the ball. Finished with 2,986 passing yards, including 23 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Very athletic, great speed for the position. Promotion from his sophomore year, which shows that he can process. Throws, he comes off the ball quickly, throws the deep ball well, strong, have a good touch, throw the pass catches open, more patient in the pocket than what people give him, and he has a very solid football IQ. Then J-Roll Campbell from Ferris State University up there in Michigan, 6'5", 215 pounds. He's a dual-threat quarterback who actually won the Holland Hill Award, which is equivalent to the Naismith, for the Heisman Trophy winner in national for college football in Division I. This award is for the best defensive two player, and he won that last year. Last year, he was the player of the year for his conference, clearly. He finished with 2,931 yards passing, including 27 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. On the ground, this is mind-blowing. He finished with 1,329 rushing yards and 21 touchdowns. He's very electric, I tell you. He's going to be something to behold, considering if he gets to the next level, which I believe he will. He's electric, good arm, elite speed for the position. He's a fighter, great vision, good feet. He's one of those guys that can, translate over, convert to another position if the opportunity is given to him, or if he really hard-pressed to be a quarterback, which he can. Now, there's another guy who I'm really high on. I think probably my favorite quarterback on this list, and that's Willie Kanter from West Georgia, 6', 195 pounds, pro-style quarterback. He was the conference second team in 2008. 2018, finished with 2,681 passing yards, including 25 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He rushed the ball for 399 yards and 5 touchdowns. He protects and takes care of the ball, and he made great decisions. Good awareness and vision, solid touch, especially over the middle, pocket awareness, have good, really good mechanics, which translate to the next level easily, very smart, and show leadership skills. Now, that will bring, as far as with the quarterbacks. Next week, I'll get to the running backs and the wide receivers as I continue to break down this list. And then after we finish with the wide receivers and the running backs, then we get to the defense portion, which is going to be great. Thank you guys for tuning in. Listen next week. See how I preview week three of the preseason, and then we wrap up the rest of this list for the outlist. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Everyone stay blessed and have you guys a solid, solid weekend. Thank you.